Amen. So before I begin, I do want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to be able to be up here to preach to you guys again. It's always an honor to get to preach behind this pulpit, so I just want to say thank you to Pastor for that. And so we're there in Ezekiel 33, and in Ezekiel 33, in the beginning of the chapter, as we read, the Lord explains to Ezekiel this idea of a watchman. Ezekiel 33, verse number 1, again, the Bible says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man," of course, this is the Lord speaking to Ezekiel. It says, "Speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I," this is the Lord, "bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman." Now, the idea is that there is judgment coming, and what God is saying is that the people of the land, they will take someone, they will take a man and set him up for a watchman. Send me to watch out for the coming judgment that is coming from the Lord. And so we see the need for a watchman. Notice verse number 3, the Bible says, "If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet," notice, "and warn the people." You see, what is the purpose of having a watchman? The watchman is there to see if there is judgment coming upon the land, if there is some opposing force, some opposing military, some destruction coming, their job was to do what? To blow the trumpet, to sound the alarm, and warn the people, say, hey, there is judgment coming, and there is danger ahead. And see, a watchman is somebody who is set for a guard to espy the approach of an enemy or other danger and to give an alarm or notice of such danger. And you think about this, obviously, this would be a pretty important job. You know, you would want someone who is vigilant, who is aware, who is watchful, not somebody who's asleep, not paying attention. You want someone you can trust. You know, if there's an opposing enemy coming, you want a man who's in the front lines watching and warning the people, saying, hey, look, somebody's coming, duck and cover. And we see the response to the watchman, verse number 4. It says, notice in verse 4, "Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet," notice, they hear the warning from the watchman, "whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning." You know, you read that and you think to yourself, you know, what are you thinking? If the watchman, his job is to warn you that impending doom is coming, you'd want to take some cover, you'd want to get prepared, but notice, he says, "and taketh not warning. If the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." See, the idea here is that this person had a watchman. They were warned of the impending doom, but yet they did nothing. And because they did nothing, of course, the danger came. They were unprepared, they were not ready, and they were taken in their iniquity. Verse number 5, it says, notice, "He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him." And so we see the response of somebody who is a foolish person. You know, you think of the idea as you have a watchman to warn you, and you absolutely do nothing. You know, it's like, well, did you not hear the alarm? But no, they just took no heed to it. And of course, they were taken. Verse number 5, it goes on, it says, "But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." See, on the contrary, some people are wise enough to hear the warning. They heard the trumpet. There's danger coming, and they do what? They take cover. They take precaution. They take the warning and they deliver their soul. See, the responsibility of the watchman is to do what? Is to sound the alarm. Verse number 6. "But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." See, it was the watchman's job to warn the people of the impending doom. And you think about this, you know, you want this guy on your side. You want this guy on your team. You want somebody to be there to help you and say, hey, look, danger is coming. And we see that God tells Ezekiel that this is what he is to the nation of Israel. In verse number 7, he says, "So thou, O son of man," he says, "I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth," notice, "and warn them from me." See, God told Ezekiel that, Ezekiel, it is your job to warn the people, to blow the trumpet, give the alarm. How's it done? "Thou shalt hear the word at my mouth," notice, "and warn them from me." See, God wanted to protect the people. See, God knew that there are things in their lives that was coming. There was judgment of coming. There was judgment of God coming upon the people, and he wanted to protect them. So he gave them the man of God, Ezekiel, to blow the trumpet, to be that watchman, and to blow the alarm for impending danger. You know, by the way, this is why today we have a pastor. We have pastors to do what? Who are watchmen, who are watching for the things in our lives that may lead us to destruction. And it is their job to blow the alarm. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:2, don't turn there, but the Bible says, feed the flock of God, referring to pastors, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. And the idea is that as a church, you know, we are a flock. We're like sheep. And having a pastor or a shepherd, you know, their job is to take the oversight of the sheep, to do what? To protect the sheep from the wolves, from the sin, from the judgment of God, and to blow the alarm. And you say, could it be even today? You know, this the book of Ezekiel was written thousands of years ago, but even today, there are people who they hear the trumpet, they hear the alarm, but yet they take no warning to the signs of impending danger. And so we see in the beginning of this chapter, God tells us about a watchman. And God tells Ezekiel, like, this is what you are, Ezekiel. What I like about this chapter is that at the end of the chapter, God shifts from focusing on Ezekiel and his job, and he focuses on the people. And this evening, I want to highlight to you some of the things about the people like Ezekiel was preaching to. And there's some things that you and I can apply to ourselves today. So number one, we see that God highlights the reception from the people. I want you to see in this chapter the reception from the people to the preaching of Ezekiel. Verse number 30, the Bible says, also, now son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. I want you to notice that the people, they loved the preaching from Ezekiel. It says, look, it says, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. He's saying, look, the people are they're close to you, they're nearby, and they're speaking to each other. They're in their homes, they're talking about the preaching, and they're talking to one another, saying, notice, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. The people that they're doing with, they're inviting their friends and family, say, hey, look, come and hear the word of God being preached by Ezekiel. They like the preaching. They want the preaching. They're saying, look, this guy's preaching the word of God. Verse 31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. I want you to notice that these people, they were coming to Ezekiel. They were sitting before him as his people. These people looked like good, independent, fundamental Baptist people. And they're sitting there, they're hearing the preaching, they love the preaching, they're inviting their friends and family to say, look, come hear the word of the Lord. And look, this is great. We should invite people. You know, we should tell everyone, look, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word of the Lord. Amen. And come to the watchman and hear the warning signs about the impending doom in our lives, about the dangers of sin, about the dangers of this world, about the dangers of not living for the Lord. And we should invite them. We see the people, they loved the preaching. In verse number 32, notice what it says. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice. Now, look, God says, look, Ezekiel, look, these people, you're like somebody who's just singing the beautiful song. Thou art unto them as a very lovely song. And you read this, you're like, man, Ezekiel must have been quite an orator, quite a great preacher, that the people, it was music to their ears, the sermon, of one that hath a pleasant voice. Look, they couldn't get enough of it, and can play well on an instrument. See, these people, it's great. Look, they love the preaching, and praise the Lord. And look, I love the preaching here. Who doesn't love the preaching here? Like, we should love and appreciate the preaching. It's like music to our ears. It's of one of having a pleasant voice. And so we see the reception from the people. Look, they loved the preaching by Ezekiel. But I want you to understand that just loving the preaching does not guarantee success. Now, look, we love the preaching, but look, and it would be great if just walking in here and sitting down and hearing the preaching, if that somehow would just magically make us great Christians. But the sad reality is that that's not the case. Verse 32 again, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but here's the problem, but they do them not. And look, the reality is that we can sit here week in, week out, we can aim in the sermons and love the preaching, which, you know, we do, praise the Lord for it, that we have somebody who can preach, and it's like music to our ears. It sounds like a pleasant voice because it's the word of God being preached without apology. But the reality is that the problem is not with the preaching. The problem is the fact that we do not do them. So we have to understand that, look, when it comes to the sermons of this church, every week after week, you know what it's like? It's like an alarm. You know, this morning's sermon, you know what that was to me? That was somebody sounding the alarm, saying, wake up, Dad. Saying, wake up, Mom. Do you not see what's going to happen to the future for your kids? Look, they see. Look, a pastor, a shepherd, they take the oversight thereof. They could see ahead. Whether you realize it or not, look, they could see things ahead. I'm not talking about like some crazy Pentecostal vision thing, but I'm saying like, look, when you read the Word of God and you apply the Word of God, you understand how biblical principles can give you wisdom and guidance and bless you in your life. And after a while, you see people, you sound the alarm, but they do nothing. And what happens, you see people's lives being ruined. And so week in and week out, what do we have? We have somebody sounding the alarm every week. Sounding the alarm as to how to be a wife. Sounding the alarm as to how to be a husband. A church member. Look, just walking in this church doesn't make you a great church member. But what do we have? We have somebody sounding the alarm, warning us of what we should do. But just hearing the alarm does not guarantee success. Can you place it in Ezekiel 33? We go to Matthew 7, if we go to Matthew chapter 7. So we see the reception from the people. The people loved the preaching. It was music to their ears. And you know, you read this and you think to yourself, man, like if I was there with Ezekiel preaching, we would all think, you know what, of course, I would be the one listening to Ezekiel. I would be the one saying amen, Ezekiel, and just doing what it says. You know, we read these verses and we think, how could anyone not take Ezekiel serious? How could anyone just love the preaching but don't do what he says? But we see it happening today. Because look, we have the same word of God today. We have a man of God preaching the word of God. The alarm is being sounded, but yet today people think they can just listen to the preaching and not apply the sermons in their lives. Matthew 7, look at verse number 24. Matthew 7, verse 24, the Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. And again, these people are hearing the right type of preaching. They're hearing these sayings of mine, of the Lord. Notice, and here's the key, and doeth them. I will liken unto him as unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And look, this is when we'll know. And look, the people, you know why they were so comfortable? Just saying, Ezekiel, I love your sermons. I love your preaching. You know, it's music to my ears. Preach it again, Ezekiel. They were doing that. Why? Because the winds weren't coming yet. The wind wasn't blowing yet. The floods weren't there yet. But look, when the floods came, then they knew, like, oh man, I should have listened to Ezekiel. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You know, every time I get to this passage and I read it, I'm always reminded of a certain sermon the pastor preached. And of course, you already know what I'm talking about. He would say, build your life on the Bible. And he went to this passage and he said, you got to build your life upon the Word of God. But like, it does not happen by just sitting down and just listening to a sermon. It happens when you do what the Bible actually says. When you build your life, and look, building, it takes work. But you take a precept here, and you apply it in your life, and you take a precept there. In this morning's sermon, as a parent, take one little precept, just add it to your life. Say, you know, I'm going to change this today. I'm going to add this, and then tomorrow I add something else. And you build your life little by little, stack upon stack, precept upon precept, line upon line, little by little, and you just start building a life that is founded upon a rock. And it's easy to love the preaching, love the sermons when everything is going your way, or at least when we're convincing each other that everything's going smoothly. But the reality is, look, we got to just do what the Bible says. Verse 26, it goes on, and everyone that heareth these things of mine, notice these people also heard what the Bible says, and unfortunately doeth them not. And the reason we fail, it's not Ezekiel's fault. It's because we do them not. Shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And look, it doesn't matter that these people simply heard the preaching. What matters is that they actually applied the preaching. And look, this is the difference today with people who just listen to sermons online. You know, and I'm glad for the sermons online, and I hope people love them and listen to them. But look, there's a difference when you're actually in church having a man of God preach to you, when you're actually being held accountable to people. Because look, it's easy to love the sermons and to just be a fanboy online, but never apply the sermons. But when you're involved in church, when you get in here, and look, you got to just decide, you know what? The only way to make it, to build your life, is to actually apply the sermons in your life. And just sitting here is not going to happen just by accident. You know, I wish it was that easy, but it's not going to happen. So we see that just loving the right preaching does not guarantee success. And look, the goal of a watchman, the goal of a preacher, it's not to be liked. His purpose, his reason is to warn you. Go to 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And look, it's great that the people loved Ezekiel's sermon. But do you think God was pleased with the fact that they just loved the sermon? And I'm sure, I hope you like my preaching. You know, preachers want to be liked, right? But here's the thing. Whether or not a preacher is liked or not does not mean he's doing a good job. Because look, any preacher can be liked if they don't blow the trumpet. Any preacher can be liked if they want to be like Joel Osteen or Rick Warren and never just warn you about what's coming. And look, the goal of the watchman is not to be liked, it is to warn. 1 Thessalonians 2, look at verse number 4. In verse 4, it says, notice, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, Paul says, even so we speak, notice, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. See, the goal of the watchman is not to please men. It's to please God, who's trying our hearts. Who's saying, you know, are you really warning the people? And look, there's plenty of churches out there who they're not pleasing God with their preaching. They're not warning the people about drugs and alcohol and foolishness and sin. They're not warning. They're not doing it. Why? Because they're trying to please men. But if you wanted to please God, then you'd actually warn the people with the truth of the word of God and say, look, you got to just live your life in a certain way. You got to change what you're doing here and apply this in your life so that God can help you and God can bless you. See, the goal of the watchman isn't just to be liked. Verse number 5, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others. Look, Paul's saying, look, I'm not trying to be liked. And I'm sure Ezekiel appreciated that people liked his preaching, but they missed the point. And the point of preaching is not just to be liked. The point is for you to apply and change. The Bible says, so the preachers preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Whether it's popular or it's not popular, the point is to help people, admonish them, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering in the doctrine. You say, why? So that you can actually be blessed by the word of God. So we see the reception from the people. What was the reception? They loved the preaching. And look, we hope you love the preaching. I love the preaching. But realize just loving the preaching is not going to guarantee success in the Christian life. Go back to Ezekiel 33. Food, Ezekiel 33. So what does God highlight about the people? He highlights the fact that they love the preaching. Not only do we see the reception from the people, but number 2, we see the requirement of the people. Ezekiel 33, look at verse number 3. Look, there's a point to having a watchman. In verse number 3, notice, if when he, in verse 3, seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, notice, and warn the people. Verse 4, then whosoever, notice, heareth the sound of the trumpet. You know, there's a requirement that when you hear an alarm, that you would actually take some cover. You know, I think about, you know, I was thinking about this sermon, and something that came to my mind is, I don't know if maybe for us people who are older, right? Back in the 50s, you know, they had the atomic bomb scare. I wasn't there, all right? I wasn't there. But I've seen pictures. They had the atomic bomb scare, right? And they would teach kids, you know, if you hear that sound, you get under that desk, and you think it's not a magic desk. It's not going to really protect you. But you see these pictures, right? And you see these kids going under the desk and scared. And they heard the alarm, and they were ducking and covering because the atom bomb was coming. But you know what? If I was there, I'd be ducking under that desk too. Why? Because, you know, I bet those kids, they actually really believed that, you know what, man, something's coming. And you think about it, like, if you really believed that some bomb was coming, you heard a threat, you think you would really just sit there and do nothing? No. If we really believed that some bomb was on its way, the alarmist sounded, we'd all be ducking and covering. We'd believe it, right? But the reality is, look, we hear the sermons, we hear the alarm sounded, and when we don't change, we have to ask, do you really not believe the Bible? Right. Is the Bible really not true when you can just sit there and just not change, not take heed, not apply? See, look, there's a requirement for the people to actually take heed. Amen. Verse 4, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. So, look, the idea is, look, there's a requirement for you sitting here. When you hear the sermons, look, God expects us to apply. God expects us to change. And in verse number 30, again, it says, also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. You see, God set Ezekiel as the watchman to warn them. And don't you think God expected them to take heed? But they will not do them. Verse 32, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that heareth the hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And look, there is an expectation for us to apply what we've heard. Amen. And don't think it's okay. Like we just got to realize, look, it's not okay for us to just sit and hear and know what the Bible says. Know what it says and just decide not to apply it, not to change it. Look, there's an expectation there from God for us to apply. Keep place here in Ezekiel 33. Go to Luke 12. Go to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. And look, week after week, we hear the alarm about anything in life. The alarm to get out of debt. The alarm to forgive other people when they've sinned against you. The alarm to ask for forgiveness when you've sinned against them. The alarm to get rid of that habitual sin, get rid of the drugs, get rid of the alcohol. The alarm to be a better husband, better spouse, better Christian, better church member. We hear the alarms, and look, along with the great preaching, there's an expectation. Luke 12, look at verse number 47. The Bible says, and that servant, in verse 47, and that servant, notice, which knew his Lord's will. Notice, they heard of the preaching. They knew what the Lord wanted. And prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with, notice, many stripes. And the idea is that, look, if you have this advantage as a Christian, if you have this advantage as a member of Verity Baptist Church, amen, which you have the advantage, amen, realize, look, unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. This man here decided to hear the preaching. They knew what the Bible says. They heard the alarm. They heard the warning, but decided to not prepare himself. They didn't do according to what God wanted. It says, he shall be beaten with many stripes. And here's what we think. Here's what we think. Well, I better just get away from the preaching. And that way I could just live a guilt-free life, right? But verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten. You're still going to get beat with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And just realize, look, at this church, you and I, we've been given much at this church. And the power of a changed life comes, yes, from being here. Comes, yes, from listening and hearing what the Bible says. But the power, the change comes when you decide to apply. When you decide to do it. Look, this is the purpose of preaching. The purpose of preaching, the purpose of learning the Bible is to make application. Go, if you would, to Psalm 86. Go to Psalm chapter 86. You see, what's the purpose of listening to the Word of God, of having the watchman? It's to actually apply and change. And look, I hope you've been applying the sermons. We should all be striving to every day be growing in the Lord, applying what the Bible says. And look, that's the purpose of learning the Word of God, is to actually do what the Bible says. Psalm 86, while you're going there, of course, in James 1:22, the Bible says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Being a doer and not just a hearer, why? Because we deceive ourselves. Psalm 86, look at verse number 11, the Bible says, teach me thy way, O Lord. You see, for what purpose? It says, walk in thy truth. See, the purpose of being taught the word of God, of learning the Bible, is so that we can walk in his truth. The Bible says that his word is a lamp unto our feet. And think about it, when you have a lamp, and then the point of the lamp for your feet and a light unto your path is so you can take that lamp, take the word of God, and actually put it in front of you so you can see where you're actually going. And when you get the preaching of the word of God every week, you have the light, and you decide not to take it with you. You decide not to actually walk wherever the Bible tells you to go. And you think to yourself, like, how can people do this? But look, people do this. And I'm not standing up here saying I apply everything, because look, I don't apply everything. There's things I need to apply in my life. But we ought to realize that, look, the whole point of sitting here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, is so that we can learn the Bible to walk in that way, to apply the word of God. Not just deceive ourselves and pat ourselves on the back and say, praise the Lord, Ezekiel, that was a great sermon, but to do what God wants us to do. The Bible says that we got to learn to apply our hearts unto wisdom. You see, what's the requirement of the people? Is that God expects you and I to heed the warning from the watchman. Go back to Ezekiel 33, if you go to Ezekiel 33. So number one, we see that God highlights the reception from the people. They love the preaching. They love the word of God. Supposedly. Number two, we see that God highlights the requirements of the people, that God requires you and I to apply the preaching of the word of God. Number three, I want you to see that God highlights the heart of the people. And this is what I love about the Bible, is that, you know, God sees more than you and I can see, obviously. In verse 31, notice the Bible says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words. And you think, man, that's great. They're there. It's a packed house for Ezekiel, but they will not do them. For with their mouth, they show much love. And you think, man, God must be pleased with all the words that I'm saying. But notice, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. See, the problem for the people that God highlights is a heart problem. They were there. They loved the sound. It sounded great. It was music to their ears, but they didn't do it. You say, why? Because of their heart. Because their heart goeth after their covetousness. You know, what is covetousness? Covetousness is a strong or inordinate desire of obtaining and possessing and some supposed good, and applied to an inordinate desire of wealth or material gain. And so these people, they were there, it felt great, it sounded good, but their heart was after their possessions, their wealth, what they wanted to do. And like, people can do this. You can be here, but not really be here, you know? You can be here, but our minds or our heart can be somewhere else. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, you know, is where is our heart? Is our heart where it should be, right with the Lord? And obviously we're not all perfect, we're all sinners. We should ask God to help us, to give us a right heart, to cleanse our heart. Amen. And renew a right spirit in us. Help us to receive the word of God properly. But see, these people, their heart was going after what they desired. And look, what's funny is that, it says, for with their mouth they show much love. And as Christians, look, we got to realize that, look, loving God is not something that we can just say again and again. Because, you know, loving God is connected with doing what God wants us to do. You can't just love God and just live however you want. Keep placing Ezekiel, but go to Deuteronomy 10, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. You say, I want to show God that I love him, that apply his word. Because loving God and doing what God says are inseparable. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And like these people, they were trying to show much love, but their heart was going after their covetousness. In Deuteronomy 10, look at verse number 12. And now, O Israel, verse 12, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee It says, but to fear the Lord thy God. And then he says, to walk in all his ways and to love him. And it says, and to serve the Lord thy God. I want you to see that God wants us to walk in his ways. You see, how can I show God I love him? Well, number one, walk in his ways. Do what he said, do what he wants you to do. Notice, and then after that, he says, and to love him, and then after, and to serve the Lord thy God. In between walking and obeying and serving is this idea of loving the Lord. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. And I want you to show you in this passage that, look, loving God is connected, it's inseparable from you walking in his ways, obeying the commandments. You say, how can I show God that I love him? Well, when you decide to actually apply what the Bible says. Look, that will show God that you love him. And these people, they're telling Ezekiel they love the sermon, and I believe they did like to hear the sermon. I believe it sounded great to them. It says they love to hear it. They're inviting their friends and family. They knew he was a preacher. They says, come hear the word of the Lord. And they're showing much love. They're saying, look, I love this. This is great. Amen. But God says, you know what? But their heart is not there. You say, how can I show God that I love him? Well, number one, to walk in his ways. Serve the Lord is when you live a life that is in accordance to God's word. That's how you show God that you love him. Go to 1 John 5. If we go to 1 John chapter number 5. We see the heart of the people, that their heart was after their covetousness. And look, it really is a heart issue. That if we can sit here week in and week out and not apply, then there's something wrong with our heart.
Right.
1 John 5, look at verse number 2. 1 John 5, 2, the Bible says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God, notice what it says, and keep his commandments. It says, for this is the love of God in verse 3, that we keep his commandments. You see, what is the love of God? It says that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You see, we love God because he first loved us. In the same way, look, you see, what motivation do we have, as we've heard, is that for God so loved the world that he actually did something, he actually gave. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, God showed his love toward us by sending his son to die for us. He did something about it. He didn't just say, hey, I love you, and did nothing. No, he gave. You see, what can we do to show God that we love him? Well, we love him because he first loved us. We love him, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments, notice, are not grievous. Look, in the same way, like, I hope that my kids grow up to obey me, not because they're afraid to, but because, you know what, they love Dad. And as Christians, like, this is how we ought to grow up. We ought to grow as Christians to grow to the place where we obey the word of God, not because we're forced to, not because pastor says we need to, not because anyone tells us to. It's because we actually love the Lord. And we do it because we love him. And we show him how by walking in his commandments. 2 John 1, verse 6, the Bible says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. You see, what is love? Love is that we walk after his commandments. And look, week in and week out, we get to come to this church. And our love for God should grow week in and week out. Every time we hear something new. Every time we hear a new commandment, a new way of applying the word of God, we have an opportunity as God's people to love God more and more and more. But it's not going to just happen by just doing nothing. It's going to happen by us applying what we've heard. So, you know, as God's people, like, every time the word of God is open, we come to church, we should ask God, Lord, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Give me a tender heart to the word of God. And help me, Lord, not just to be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And to grow in my love more towards you, because that is love. Love is when we actually do what God wants us to do. So we see the heart of the people is that their heart was not in it. They were showing much love with their mouth, but their heart was going after their covetousness. And look, in your life, like, only you can answer this for yourself. Obviously, God knows your heart, if it's really here or if it's somewhere else, maybe in material wealth, a sports game, money, success out there, some drugs or alcohol, whatever it is. God knows. You see, how can I show God I love him? Oh, we got to obey what it says. Go back to Ezekiel 33. Go to Ezekiel 33. So we see that God highlights the reception from the people. The people love the preaching. God highlights the requirement of the people, that God expects them to heed the warning of the watchman. God highlights the heart of the people, that it wasn't fully there. And lastly, number four, God highlights the regret of the people. In verse number 33, actually verse 32 again, it says, notice, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. It says, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And then he ends the chapter with this verse. It says, and when this cometh to pass. Now, when he says this cometh to pass, he's referring to the destruction, to the judgment of God. And then he says, notice, lo, it will come. God says, look, it's going to come. And notice what it says. It says, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. You know, I love that last phrase. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. And we see, sadly, these people didn't realize that a prophet was among them. Until when? Until after the destruction. Until after the judgment. Until after it was too late. And isn't it true that we don't appreciate what we have until it's gone? And sadly, look, these people, after the destruction, after the judgment, they're like, oh man, there was a prophet among us. And look, we're blessed to have our pastor. Amen. And look, we ought not to wait until we ruin our lives because we don't apply the word of God in our lives. And then we're going to, and look, people do this, unfortunately. People leave church because they get backslidden. But years go by, then they realize, you know what? A prophet had been among me. I should have actually done what the Bible told me to do. I didn't take heed to the warning. The watchman was there. They were blowing the trumpet, but I didn't listen. And look, that ought not to be us. If you're in this room, don't let that be you. Don't wait until it's too late. And look, especially with this morning sermon, look, as parents, look, for the next generation, please, like, don't wait. Like, the time to change is today. Amen. The time to apply is now. You hear the warning. You know what it says. You see the warnings of what happens if you don't. Look, the time to change is now. Let's not wait till it's too late. It's like, oh, man, I should have listened. I should have changed. I should have applied. But yet it's too late. You see, God allows the judgments or hard times to remind us to listen. And I like the illustration in the beginning of the chapter about the watchman. But it's funny, but it's the people of the land who seek out the watchman. Verse number one again, notice what it says. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, verse two, son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, notice, when I bring the sword upon a land. And then it says, notice, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. And in his illustration about the watchman, he tells us, look, if the people of the land, if they set up a watchman. Why? Because of the destruction. And look, this is why people come to our church and praise the Lord for it. Because life wasn't going their way. Because you know what? Things were working out. They needed some answers. They didn't understand why things were happening in their lives. And they needed a watchman to help them. And they say, you know what? I need someone to guide me, to help me, to take the oversight of my life, to give me some wisdom. And they set up a watchman for them, for themselves. Praise the Lord. And they come and they hear the warnings. Make this change. Apply the word of God here. Apply the word of God there. And you think, why wouldn't you listen? You set him up. Why wouldn't you apply? You put him there. Why wouldn't you apply? He's doing his job. He's warning you. And that people take no heed. And it's sad that these people were the ones. Look, they asked for the watchman. The people of the land set this man up to help them, to guide them. And they didn't listen. It's a shame. Verse 7, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. But it was too late. And when it's too late, what happens? There's regret. Verse 33 again, and when this cometh to pass, the judgment, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Look, we ought not to wait to ruin our lives to realize the blessing that we have in this church. You say, how can I guarantee that this isn't me? Well, we can guarantee it by applying what the Bible tells us to do. But when we decide to not apply, to not do, God says, look, those winds are coming. The flood is coming. They're going to beat upon that house. And you're going to live a life of regret when it all comes crashing down because you just didn't apply. You didn't do what it says. Go to Hebrews 13, if you put Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews 13. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. I'm sure at that point they thought, oh man, I should have actually listened to Ezekiel. And it wasn't enough just to love the sermon. And look, love the sermon. Amen the sermons, but look, it's not enough. Hebrews 13, look at verse number 17. The Bible says, it says, obey them that have the rule over you. This is talking about a pastor. And notice, and submit yourselves. You say, why? It says, for they, notice this word, it says, for they watch. It's a watchman. For they watch for your souls. And look, it's funny, but you know what? This ought to make sense to us because look, as God's people, look, we're watchmen unto the city of Sacramento. Where we go out there, we preach the gospel to people, and we say, look, there's impending doom coming. There is a place called hell that if you don't get saved, you're not going to go there. And people don't want to hear it, and we want to just shake them. Like, don't you know? Don't you see? Don't you get it? So this should make sense to us, the frustration of being a watchman, and people don't want to hear it. But here it says, obey them, O church member, that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And praise God, we have a pastor who sounds the alarm and is not afraid to do so. Amen. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable, notice, for you. It's unprofitable for you when you don't submit to the word of God, when you don't obey them that have the rule over you, when you don't take heed to the alarm, it does not profit you in life. So realize, look, every sermon is an alarm. You say, I don't see it. Well, look, they didn't see it either at the time. But judgment came, and they're like, oh man, a prophet hath been among us. Every time the word of God is preached, you got to ask yourself, look, do you hear the alarm? And the reality is, look, you hear the alarm. We hear the alarm. But there are people who can, week after week, they can grow numb to the noise. And it does nothing. And look, that ought not to be us. Every week, we hear the sermon. We hear the alarm. You say, you know what? I'm going to take warning. I'm going to apply this in my life. So we don't get to the end with regret and say, you know what? I should have listened. So what do we see in this chapter? We see that God highlights the reception from the people. They love the preaching. Praise the Lord for it. But just loving the preaching doesn't guarantee success. We see the requirement of the people. That God expects us to heed the warning from the watchman. We see the purpose of learning is to actually do and apply. We see the heart of the people that we show God how we love him by doing what the Bible says. And last, we see the regret of the people. That it was too late for them because they did not take heed to the prophet who was among them. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. God, I thank you for your word, for our church, and for everyone that's here, Lord. And I just pray that you protect our church, bless our lives. And I just thank you for our pastor who blows the alarm, who sounds a trumpet, and who is there to give us a warning of danger in our lives. God, I just pray that you help us all to take heed to the word of God and apply the word of God every day, more and more, so we can grow in our obedience to you and our love for you, and to give us wisdom in our lives, God. I pray that you be with everyone tonight. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.